Well, time now on BBC Radio 4 for the last in the series, where Nicholas Parsons says,
"Welcome to Just a Minute." Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented, individual, exuberant, perverse, interesting players of the game. Seated on my right, we have Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, it's Rod Gilbert and John Sargent. Would you please...
Which is seated on your life, then, Nicholas.
Was I deviating from the language as we understand it? And right. Seated... Rod. Yes.
Yeah, seated on my life is wrong.
Deviation. Give him the point before we start. Right. And seated on my left, Rod Gilbert and John Sargent. Please welcome all four of them. And once again, they're going to demonstrate their verbal dexterity, their... humorous ingenuity in their comic invention as they try and speak on the subject that I give them and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who'll help me with a score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the major venues of the Pleasance at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And we have a lovely, packed, excited Festival Fringe audience in front of it. Dying for us to start, so we begin the show with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is how to present a weather forecast. Please tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I think the most important thing when presenting a weather forecast is to concentrate on the weather rather than on yourself. The fact that I have won the Lucozade, the Orangina, and the Iron Brew Award at the Edinburgh Festival is as nothing...
I thought there was a slight hesitation there.
No, no, he was going with great style, John.
Oh, are you sure? From where I was, he seemed to be hesitating.
No, no, I know you're a long way away, but he wasn't. No. He was going with his usual plum and style. So, an incorrect challenge, I'm afraid. So, Clement, you have a point, and you have 44 seconds.
What was the subject?
Clement, don't tell him.
So you were talking. You mean you say you were talking before and you didn't know the subject? That was brilliant. But anyway, the thing is, Clement, you've only been playing the game for about 38 years, and you do know that I always repeat the subject before you start again.
Ah, good.
Yes, right. So you have 44 seconds to continue on how to present a weather forecast, starting now.
Weather is almost crucial. People want to know whether they live in Plymouth or Cornwall, if they.
Paul Challenge.
I think it was a slight hesitation.
That
there.
Was a hesitation, yes. Yeah. Right. Mm. So,
between
Paul, you have
words,
a correct challenge, yeah. And you have a point for that, and you have 37 seconds available to take over how to present a weather forecast, starting now.
Isobars are very important. You want to put them on the map when the wind's coming in, because then people know whether their hat's going to blow off or not. If I was walking down the street and I said to somebody, it's going to rain in approximately 45 days, everybody said, that's ridiculous, you can't possibly forecast from that distance. But now they can, because they've put this satellite into outer space, which is a special satellite-like thing.
I don't think there's any other word for satellite.
I found that to my cost, yes.
That's right. So, John, yes, that was a correct challenge. We recognise that one. And you have 18 seconds. How to present a weather forecast, starting now.
I think the key thing is to make a mistake, like Michael Fish did. He was rather casual about the matter of a hurricane. If he'd taken the hurricane more seriously...
I should explain to my listeners that John Sargent has only played the game once before. Rod Gilbert has never played it before, so... He's...
That much is obvious.
But, Paul, that was a correct challenge, yes, of the hurricane. 8 seconds. How to present a weather forecast, starting now.
The sleet was coming down at a horrendous rate. I tuned onto the radio and I heard this man say in a deep, sonorous voice...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, so he's naturally in the lead at the end of the round. And Rod Gilbert, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject is very topical for up here in Edinburgh, my ideal tattoo. You can take the subject any way you like, of course. You have 60 seconds, starting now. Sorry,
Who did that?
Rod, the point is that this game, you have to start immediately. Otherwise, it's hesitation.
I was just going to have a little think about it.
You're not even allowed to... You have to have your little
this
thing.
This is an ideal tattoo, not just any old tattoo, Nicholas. Oh, no. You've got to rule out the others first.
You see, what I always do is give you the subject, and then I pause, and then I say, you start now. That's your thinking time.
Right.
And Clement's challenged there, and I'm sure he's generous enough to say, you, first time you've ever played the game, first time you've ever spoken of the show, so we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We won't charge anything. We'll start again and say, you have, well, you're all right, you have 59 seconds.
that kind of worked out for me, then.
Right, yeah. Clement.
Deviation.
Why?
You're right, it is a supportive environment, Nicholas.
You started too soon.
You started too soon. Right, Clement, we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed your interruption. Which makes up for the correct challenge you had earlier on. So I'm always very fair, as you see. Rod, the subject is my ideal tattoo.
How long have I got this time?
Wait a minute. Don't get too keen now. 59 seconds, starting now.
My ideal tattoo. I don't think I would have a tattoo. They sound incredibly painful. But if I were to have an ideal tattoo, it would be some staring, unblinking eyes on my eyelids, so that when I shut my eyes in a situation which was perhaps boring and I could doze off, this would allow me to give the impression that I was staring with great interest to whomever might be talking at that time. This would have been useful as I was growing up in school, possibly university, now more so with my girlfriend, or perhaps at a...
Paul challenged you.
Hesitation.
Yeah, there was a hesitation then.
They laughed at it. I think you're losing them, Paul.
Rod, and while they were laughing, you stopped talking.
Rod, this
That's kind
is
of what
most,
I meant as well.
This is the most frustrating game for any comedian, because you have to ride your laughs. Otherwise,
you've got to ride
you
them, you've got to saddle them up.
You have to go through them. You can't afford to wait and nurse them. Paul, your chance. Hesitation.
Yeah.
You have 32 seconds. My ideal tattoo starting now.
I would love to have a great big heart on my arm that expressed my admiration for the wonderful Nicholas Parsons. To Nick, my heart is yours.
Clement challenge.
Two hearts.
I don't care. I mean every word of it. Yeah.
In spite of your generosity, I've still got to be fair within the rules of just a minute and say, Clement, a correct challenge. 23 seconds, my ideal tattoo, starting now.
My ideal tattoo is the Edinburgh tattoo. Hurrah!
And Rod, you've challenged. Hesitation.
Yes.
Yes, well done.
It's quite different from me. I was riding a non-laugh.
They're the hardest laughs to ride, aren't they?
Rod didn't get away with it. Paul got the subject, even when Rod did it last time. So, Rod, you got him on his own petard there, and there are 17 seconds on my ideal tattoo starting now.
Well, as I said earlier, my ideal tattoo would be these pair of unblinking eyes on...
Paul.
I think the clue's in the phrase, as I said before.
Now, if you get the subject back, you can't repeat the material that you had before.
Shame?
I know. In another subject you can, but not on this one, I'm afraid. Right. So, Paul, 13 seconds, my ideal tattoo starting now.
The best tattoo I ever saw was here in Edinburgh in 1978, and what a tremendously fascinating event it was. I got there early because there was a big queue of people, and I wanted to make sure I had a good front seat.
Clement challenge.
Two goods.
Oh, yes,
two goods.
Goods.
Got there early. Good front seat, yes. Ooh. And Clement, you got him with 1 second to go. It hasn't won you any friends, but you got the subject. Another point, my ideal tattoo starting now.
Soldiers.
So... Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, and he's gained an extra point for doing so. He's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton at the end of that round. John Sargent, will you take the next round? The subject is, what I can do in 10 seconds. And you have 60 seconds in which to tell us, starting now.
My memoirs, as some discerning listeners may know, were called Give Me 10 Seconds. So this is something I should know a great deal about. The title comes from an instruction I would give to those people behind the scenes at ITN. If, for example, I was being interviewed by Sir Trevor MacDonald on News at 10, I would be given at some point a warning about how close we were coming to the end of the item. Someone would shout a number between 9 and 11 when there was 1/6 of a minute to go. I would not come to a grinding halt because that would be unprofessional. But I would bring my thoughts together. I would focus my ideas. In other words, I would shut up.
Paul Challenge.
There were three I woulds.
Yes.
Seven woulds.
One after another. I would do this, well, I would do that. I know you're very disappointed, but what can I do? I mean...
It's right. I mean, we let one I would go, or but two I would.
Well, we let one go because that's not repetition.
You know what I meant. We let one repeat of it go.
Oh, one repeat, yes.
One repeat go, but the second repeat, you couldn't bear it, and he did go. We had a very good innings there. You had 45 seconds, John. Very, very... Yes, wonderful. Paul, you had a correct challenge. You have 15 seconds on what I can do in 10 seconds starting now.
I can listen to Clement Freud's mobile going off next to me as we are doing Radio 4's Just a Minute here at the Pleasance. I hope it's that and not a life support machine, because basically it's wonderful. I can do in 10 seconds, I can prepare a very bad egg. It won't be edible.
So Paul Merton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now got the lead ahead of Clement Freud, then Rod Gilbert and John Sargent in that order. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject is Scottish slang. 60 seconds and you start now.
A useless object is known as a Nicholas. It's one of those things in Scottish slang. If you see something in the street that has no discernible role in life, you call it a Nick, what I said before. In the meantime, Scottish slang is best pronounced like this, which is roughly, have you got a bowl of cherries? If you go into any shop in the Royal Mile, you will find many people, that's a funny word, but nobody challenged. So somebody must, because otherwise we'll be talking all night.
That was a
word up there, and everybody was asleep.
No, it was a very generous gesture on your part, and John picked it up first. John Sargent, you challenge first. What is your challenge?
My challenge is, well, deviation and hesitation. Double challenge.
No, you don't get 2 points, only one.
All right.
Which one do you want?
I think deviation.
Yes, I don't know where he was deviating from, but anyway, it was quite right.
Good decision. Good decision from our chairman. Doesn't know why, but he's given it. That's really good.
He paused, John. He stopped and handed it over. Yeah. Anyway, 33 seconds. Scottish slang with you starting now.
Scottish slang can be heard sometimes on the Royal Mile if you listen very carefully. Go up to people late at night and see where they're saying it's a broad breck moonlit nicht to nicht. The test of whether it is Scottish slang is quite simple. Does it have any discernible meaning? And the answer, of course, is no.
You can... Paul Challenge.
Well, there was a hesitation there as well, you see.
I think he slowed down on his normal pace of speech, but I don't think... I've got to give the benefit of the doubt on occasions. I give it to you, John, on this occasion. I don't think... And so you have 15 seconds to continue on Scottish slang, starting now.
The point of slang, any sort, is to make sure the person feels different, and that is brilliantly exemplified in Scottish slang. When someone says, "Och here, the new," what they're really saying is, I'm proud...
Clement Challenge.
Repetition.
What?
Dirigiste.
Can you... I must explain to our listeners, we're all looking at Clement Freud now and wondering what the hell he's talking about.
Give him the benefit of the doubt.
Sounded like dirigiste from here.
He does speak rather quietly. Could you sort of project a bit more, John, so they can hear?
I'll certainly try and do that, I said...
No, John, benefit of the doubt, Ochai the new is not... Well, I don't think it's slang, actually. They didn't get you on that, but then it doesn't matter. Right, 4 seconds, starting now.
The important thing is to make sure that you use Scottish slang at the right...
John Sargent was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point from the other points in the round. He's now equal to Clement Freud in second place, 2 points behind Paul Merton. Rod,
yeah.
The subject is the etiquette of queuing. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The etiquette of queuing. Yes, trick... Oh, God. Can I start again, please?
Yes. It's up to John, because he challenged first. John, can
John,
you start,
can I start again?
Again,
please?
Well, I think... I mean, this is difficult, isn't it? What do the audience think?
Yes!
Well, that's it. I don't go against the audience. I'm a freak.
So, John gets a point because it was a correct challenge, but Rod keeps the subject. 58 seconds, the etiquette of queuing, Rod, starting now.
Queuing is a very tricky business. There are several things that you must not do whilst queuing. For example, do not, when queuing in a butcher's shop in your village on a Friday morning, never look down the... breathe down the neck...
John challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I must say you haven't got anyway, John.
I thought it was a change of track.
Anyway, and you... you have 46 seconds. The etiquette of queuing starting now.
The etiquette of queuing is a deeply neglected subject. I don't know why people go on about why we should worry about...
Rod challenge.
Repetition of why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say one thing, Rod. You have got this audience 100% behind you.
That's what you get for being rubbish.
And you... And you now have 39 seconds to try and continue on the etiquette of queuing, starting now.
Yes, never breathe down the neck of somebody in your local butcher's shop on a Friday morning in your village.
We have had a lot of that before.
We have had a lot of that before.
Was it from me?
Local butcher's shop on a Friday morning.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a routine.
So, Paul, another point to you in 34 seconds. The etiquette of queuing starting now.
If you want to go to understand the finer points of queuing, you must go... Oh.
What? You got it back again.
Repetition of go.
That's right, yes. Rod, can I ask you not to get quite so close to your microphone?
You can ask me.
You were
you
almost eating it then.
That's how keen I am.
You were thinking about the butcher shop. So, we're back with you. The etiquette of queuing, Rod. 30 seconds, starting now.
Whilst queuing at a cash point, try not to breathe down the neck of the... There's no butcher shop in that.
No, but there was breathing down the neck.
Okay, but I changed location.
Well, you can't do that in just a minute. You've got to stick to the same location and the same word, and different words, right.
That's what I've been doing.
I'm afraid you stick to the same words, you must stick to different words. Paul, another point to you. 26 seconds, the etiquette of queuing starting now.
If you're queuing up in a butcher shop and somebody's trying to breathe down the back of your neck, it's Friday morning in Wales, you must turn to them and say, how dare you? Do you realise that your breath...
Rod, challenge.
Repetition of you.
Yes, there was...
Oh, come on.
Rod, I must tell you, we usually let little words like that go.
You might do.
On this occasion...
I'm in no mood for charity now.
No. On this occasion only, as you're new to the game, and Paul is very generous the way he plays it, I will let you have the benefit of the doubt. Well, not benefit of the doubt, it's a correct challenge, but please resist in future. 16 seconds, the etiquette of queuing starting now.
Paul...
Hesitation.
I'm afraid I have to give it against you, Paul.
He looked at me and said, I'll give it against you, Paul.
I know I did.
That's very confusing.
I know it is very confusing, but you got me very confused.
Right. Because, so who are you going with?
Because you've got the audience with you, you're making a lot of mistakes, and they're being generous, and I must now allow... Listen, he's a lovely contestant, and that's why we've got him here.
Never seen this happen before.
You won the audience. Paul, you won a point. You have 15 seconds. The etiquette of queuing starting now.
If one stands in front of the other person that's in front of you, then inevitably you will find yourself...
Rod challenge.
Repetition of front. You can't let that go.
You can. If you stand in front of somebody who's in front of you.
Yes.
Yes, right.
You don't have to let it go, Rod. Have you been to show business?
I don't know. Is that somewhere you can go?
Try from the microphone, Mike, if you can. And 10 seconds with you, Rod, the etiquette of queuing starting now.
I had an Uncle Barry who loved to queue. Sometimes he would just turn up outside something and stand alone and start a queue. That's how all the great queues had started.
Oh. John, yes?
Repetition of queue. He said queue twice.
It's queue, and queuing is on the subject.
Yeah. Queuing's in the
car. You can repeat the words in the car, but you repeat the word queue. Sorry. It's the way we play the game, I'm sorry. Those are the rules.
You've got to be tough, though. I was so charitable early on. Look where it got me.
You've got lots of points, John, and you've got him with 3 seconds to go. The etiquette of queuing starting now.
The etiquette of queuing could be so important, particularly to young.
Well, let me give you what the situation is points-wise. It's all very, very close, which is very interesting, actually. Rod Gilbert is only just in fourth place. He's only 1 point behind Clement Freud, who's only 1 point behind John Sargent, who's only 1 point behind Paul Merton. So in that order of sequence, they're all doing very well. And, John, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is handbags. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Surprisingly, I do not have a handbag. I find that a briefcase works just as well for keeping all those old bits of string and out-of-date coins. But I did know a long time ago in a galaxy far away a star politician who was very good at using, yes, handbags. She had lots of them and was, of course, Margaret Thatcher. Instead of clipping her ministers round the ear, which in public would be frowned upon, she used to metaphorically handbag them, and she gave this phrase to the dictionary and the lexicon of British politics, the handbagging. I was...
Clement Charles.
The subject is handbags. He's now said handbag 4 times.
No, he said handbags as a subject. He said handbagged and handbagging. He hasn't actually repeated anything.
Boo. Mm. Did you hear them boo?
I think they were booing you, actually, Clement.
No, poor decision.
This lot will boo anybody.
See? Rod, you pressed your buzzer.
Well, I've got a different challenge. I think it's deviation.
It's too late now. So, program's John, you've still got the subject of handbags. 26 seconds starting now.
I think one of the advantages that the former Prime Minister had is that people thought she had an enormous array of handbags, that there were different handbags for all sorts of quite separate thing.
Yes, Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, that is a hesitation. So you've got him with 13 seconds to go on handbags, Paul, starting now.
It's one of the great lines in the English theatre, The Importance of Being Earnest, by Oscar Wilde, where Lady Bracknell is asked, well, in fact, she is referring to a gentleman who's been born in a handbag, and she falls up to her full height and she says, a hand.
So, at the end of that round, I'll give you the situation, because we're moving into the final round, alas.
Oh. Oh. That was a chance to boo. Yeah.
Well, you can all come next year, so we'll return and do more Just a Minute in Edinburgh next year. Oh, what a lovely audience. They just wonder if anything you say. As we move into the final round, let me tell you, Rod Gilbert has never played it before, but he's done extremely well so far, and he's got just 1 point behind Clement, and Clement's a couple of points behind John Sargent, who's really only the second time he's played it. Paul Merton's just in the lead, and he takes the final round, which is, we're keeping the Edinburgh theme going here, my favourite spot in Edinburgh. 60 seconds, Paul, starting now.
There is a dark, dank cellar deep beneath the bowels of this magnificent city where every Saturday night Nicholas Parsons dances in a naked flame to restore his vitality. He's actually 408, and you wouldn't know it to look at him. He doesn't look a day over 95.
Clement Charles.
I think you would.
Yeah.
So what is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Deviation from the truth.
So, Nicholas, you have to decide whether you look 486 or not. Not out.
No, I think humorously, yes, people do think I'm 408, but I think logically you're right, Clement. So you have my favourite spot in Edinburgh and 44 seconds starting now.
If one's favourite spot is the one on which one spends most time...
Rod, challenge.
Well, I know it's only a small word, but 1 3 times in the first sentence has got to be bad, hasn't
no.
it?
No. Ones.
Ones and ones.
Oh, ones, one, one. Yeah. Two, one, and one, ones.
One,
ones,
ones. Ones. Ones.
In
we'll
which
try.
Ones
there were so many, I lost track, to be honest.
So, Clement, an incorrect challenge, and 40 seconds, my favourite spot in Edinburgh, starting now.
Then it is Waverley Station taxi queue, in which I have actually spent a large section of my life.
Rod, yes.
Hesitation. Yeah, that was
that hesitation. Was hesitation. So there are 32
nothing
seconds.
Nothing like the hesitation you spend at Waverley Station.
I'd like to be fair to those taxi drivers, because I've queued up a couple of times, and there was hardly any wait at all. I don't know what happened to you.
Very interesting.
Mm. Well, you see, I'm one of these
with
born...
With Nicholas, they drive straight at you, don't they? Yeah. They drive straight at him.
Right, Rod, you had a correct challenge, you'll be pleased to hear. And you have the subject of my favourite spot in Edinburgh. There are 32 seconds, and you start now.
My favourite spot in Edinburgh has to be the Royal Mile during the Edinburgh Festival. It is wonderful. There is no far greater sight to see than a group of middle-class English school kids in matching T-shirts singing a song about finding a lucky pencil on the ground and picking it up. Once I even saw a group of not-so-middle-class Scottish kids...
Clement Challenge.
Middle-class.
You had a...
Yeah, but not-so-middle-class.
But you did repeat the word. So, Clement, 14 seconds are available on my favourite spot in Edinburgh, starting now.
I suppose the boil, or could it be a carbuncle, on the chin of the man who was standing outside my hotel yesterday evening could be my favourite spot in Edinburgh, where I attracted to those sort of facial...
Rather unsavoury thought. Clement took him up to the whistle, gained the extra point for doing so, and brought the show to a close. Let me give you the final situation. Very, very close, very even, very fair. Rod Gilbert, who hasn't played the game before, he finished in a magnificent third place. John Sargent has only played the game once before, finished in an amazing second place. Only 2 points ahead were Clement Freud and Paul Merton equal. So we say they're the winners this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game. Paul Merton, John Sargent, Rod Gilbert and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown the whistle so elegantly every time the 60 seconds went. We thank our producer, who is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely fringe audience here at the Pleasance in Edinburgh, who've cheered us on our way. Hope you've had a great time. Hope the listeners have enjoyed it all. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute!